And you think about the grace of God and how many people are depending on their good works when good works are nothing. People have become self-righteous instead of truly enjoying the righteousness of Jesus Christ that is given to us. The righteousness that is given to us, how? Through faith in Jesus Christ, period. Bottom line.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. As a young man, Raul took so many wrong turns with his life, he felt he could never get back on track. But by God's grace, he finally discovered a new life of freedom and purpose in Christ. For encouragement from Raul's story, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 for a free DVD. We're glad to have you along for the conclusion of our 12-week series in 1 Peter. Today, Raul will end on a high note with an uplifting look at the grace that sets us free through the love and power of the Lord Jesus. Stay with us for encouragement to fully embrace the Lord's unmerited favor. You'll be inspired to walk by faith in the promise of one day standing before God in His eternal heavenly glory. If you have your Bible, join us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. Here's Raul Reese.
As I was going over the book of 1 Peter and coming to the end, I couldn't help to think of Peter in writing this letter and then coming to that conclusion, but at the same time, thinking of everything that he has shared with us. All of the things that he talked about concerning the problems with Rome and all of the people that Peter came to know, brothers and sisters, that were executed by Rome. And then, of course, on the other side, those that called themselves Christians and then denied the Lord. Instead of saying Jesus is Lord, they said Caesar is Lord because they didn't want to die. And you think of our own conditions today in America and the world. What would happen if any one of us tomorrow would have to deny or confess the Lord to Caesar? And we're living in a different time where these young kids that are up here sharing with us, our children, they're the ones that are going to be facing the major task if the Lord tarries. They're going to have to learn about the grace of God, the true grace of God. One of the most beautiful things that Peter does in concluding his letter, as he's been speaking about Satan and his demons, is that as he comes to chapter 5, verse 10, he starts out here. Here, Peter, as he's concluding this great letter that he's been speaking to each one of us individually, he now gives us the reasons for the hopeful attitude that we should have as believers when things get tough, when things happen. So he begins in verse 10, he says, "But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." Notice the words that he's using. I am amazed at Peter, how many times he speaks about God's grace. It's incredible. You don't hear a lot about God's grace today. And it's not that we should take advantage of the grace of God, but the word grace means unmerited favor that is given to each one of us individually. And Peter is again reminding me, reminding you, reminding us, reminding the church around the world that God's grace is real. And yet the grace of God is unmerited, unmerited favor. We deserve hell, but by the grace of God, we are saved through faith in Jesus Christ, period. Nothing else. Nothing you can do can ever get you to heaven. Only one thing: to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ by coming to repentance and recognizing that you have sinned against God. And sin separates me from God. And it will put me in hell. And so it's really important for me to understand that if we are truly living in the last days and we're living in a time where Peter, in this great epistle, has taught us about the suffering that the church went through during the time of Rome. And when you read the Bible today, especially the book of Revelation, and what's ahead, not what's in the past, but what's in the present and what's coming in the future, man, it's going to be heavy, heavy stuff. And when I read Peter's letter, I was just blessed. I was just overwhelmed because of the grace of God, the grace that he's been pouring out for how many years? Almost 2,000 years. And a lot of people have not taken advantage of the grace of God. So what are they going to get? The wrath of God. And God doesn't play games. God's a very serious person. He's a loving person, a graceful person, but he's also a God that will judge. And he will take care of business. Why? Because he's a holy God. And we are unholy people. So the grace of God is much needed today. And Peter starts with the grace of God at the beginning of his letter, and now he's concluding the first epistle, and he's concluding with the grace of God. He says, but may the God of all grace, notice that, all grace that is given to us, the source of grace given to us. And when you think of the source of grace, think of the description that is given to us about God's grace. It's a great grace, according to Acts 4:33. It is a sovereign grace, Romans 5:21. It's an enduring grace in 2 Corinthians 9:14. And then it is a manifold grace given to us in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. And then it's an all-sufficient grace in 2 Corinthians, again, 5, 9. And then he says this. It's an all-abundant grace, Romans 5:25 and 6, 7, and verse 20. The grace of God that is extended to each one of us individually. When I first came to the Lord, man, nobody had to tell me about the grace of God. I knew I was saved by grace. And you think about the grace of God and how many people are depending on their good works when good works are nothing. People have become self-righteous instead of truly enjoying the righteousness of Jesus Christ that is given to us. The righteousness that is given to us, how? Through faith in Jesus Christ, period. Bottom line, by Jesus Christ he gives to us. He says, but may the God of all grace, secondly, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Can you believe that? We are called, as he says here, to know that we are going into glory. Man, I can hardly wait. And we're going to have to stand before the Lord. And the Bible says that what? The books are going to be open. And the thing about being a Christian is that Christians are still, even though our sins have been taken care of, one day Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians 5:10, Romans 14:10, it says what? That we're going to stand in the bema seat of Christ. And the bema seat of Christ is the judgment for the church, for believers. Where you are going to be judged not for your sins, but for your works in this world as a Christian. Your tithing, your reading, your praying, your fastings, all the things, church attendance, all that that you did religiously, it will be tested in the fire. Wood, hay, stubble, silver, and gold. And whatever is put into the fire, whatever burns up, and whatever is left, that will be your reward. And if everything burns up, you will have nothing to show, but yet the grace of God will get you in, period. That's it. It's real important that we understand God's word. It's not just receiving Jesus. When you receive Jesus, the Bible says there's a transformation. You're not the old person you used to be. You're a new person. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man is in Christ Jesus, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become brand new. You can't continue in your old life. Otherwise, people will question your salvation. And they'll question the grace of God. We don't take advantage of the grace of God. We don't frustrate the grace of God, Paul said. We enjoy the grace of God. We don't deserve it. We deserve hell. But he's given us heaven because of his son, Jesus Christ. Coming and being born of a virgin, living here for 33 years, going to the cross, dying, resurrecting, and then ascending to heaven, sitting, and then coming again the second time. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why Peter says here, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, notice, after you have suffered a little while. I mean, how many of us like suffering? I don't. Man, when I read the book of Job first time, I thought, man. And now over the last 40 years, as I read Job, man, I understand who Job is. Because Job was one of the perfect guys in the whole world. He was loving God. He was serving God. And this is the book of Job where the question always comes up, why does God allow Christians and non-believers to suffer? And you know what people forget? Very simple. In the Garden of Eden, who sinned? Adam and Eve. This world is not a perfect world. It's a fallen world. It's really important that we understand the concept because you'll never understand why you suffer. I never understood. Paul asked God three times, Lord, I have this thorn in my side. Please take it away. And what did Jesus say to him? My grace is sufficient for you, Paul. Don't ask me again. Don't ask me again. And then you think of people that really, truly, I mean, are godly people and they're suffering. People get mad at God. Start pointing a finger at God. And if your child is suffering or a baby is born retarded, and you're an outstanding Christian, you say, why would that happen to me? Why not somebody that's wicked? And I always used to say that. Why do the righteous men always get ripped off? Man, how come the wicked don't get it all? David had the same problem. Read the Psalms. He had the same problem. And when I read Job, I mean, I thought about it. And what did God do? I mean, here comes his friends. And one day God says to him, okay, Job, Satan comes twice. The first time he's cruising up and down the earth and he comes by. And God says, have you ever considered my servant Job? There's nobody like him in the whole world that serves me and loves me. He says, I've considered him, but he's your baby. You're always protecting him. You've given him everything. The word to consider there in the Hebrew, it's a military term of a general standing on top of a hill strategizing, how am I going to get my enemy and defeat him? Have you ever considered or strategized on my servant Job? Put your name there. You know what Satan's doing every day? Strategizing. How can I get you? But it's always, remember this, it's always by permission. God said to him, you can do whatever you want to Job, except you can't touch his life. You can't kill him. I have his life in my hand. And what's the first thing Satan did? He left and he killed his daughters and his sons, took away all his riches to the point that Job said, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Jehovah God. And then, remember in the second chapter, Satan came again, and God said, have you ever considered my servant Job? He said, you're always behind him. He says, no, have you ever considered Job? He says, you always protect him. He said, I'll tell you what, you can go and do whatever you want to Job again now, except don't touch his life. And what's the first thing he did? He took off and he put boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He couldn't stand. He couldn't sit. He couldn't lie down. And he was in pain. And his wife said, Job, why don't you cry out and curse God? And he rebuked his wife. He said, hey, don't do that. And then his friends came and started to give him wisdom and knowledge. And then they actually put him down. And then Job, and all the way through these problems and situations, but at the end of the book of Job, what happens? The Lord gives him back more than ever before because God was testing him. And he passed the test. We need to pass the test. These Christians were suffering, man. Imagine my grandbabies, my sons, or whoever your family may be, and you watch people execute them in front of your eyes. Think of the bitterness and the hardness. Somebody blowing somebody's head off in front of you. And yet it happens. It happened when Peter saw it. Christians were being slaughtered by the hundreds, the thousands, and little babies watching their mommies and their daddies. So here's Peter speaking of the sufferings. After you have suffered a while, notice what he says, perfect, which means to equip, to adjust in the Greek, or to put together, to establish, notice, to set apart, or to strengthen, or to settle you. Notice what he says here. The true foundation is to settle you in Christ. Everything that I go for is to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. Lord, whatever comes, I will never deny you. I will stand true to you. No matter what happens, even to the point of losing my wife or losing my children or losing my grandbabies. He said what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. That has to be first, not your wife, not your husband, not your children, not your grandchildren. God first. And then he'll bring the balance, which is so cool. And then notice again, and after you have suffered a little while, it's not going to be long. For a little while, you're going to suffer. And I never understood suffering until I suffered. I didn't have compassion for people that suffer. You know what I say? That's their problem. Not my problem. I'm healthy. And man, when I got sick, man, that day, and I flipped back to Vietnam, that was the end of that, man. It was horrible. I was depressed. I was oppressed. I had to put down my shades. I couldn't have any light before me. My wife had to hold my hand when I slept. I've never had to do that. Fear like I never had before. For 6 weeks. And then the Lord came through and touched my life. So whatever tonight you're facing in your own personal life, you guys, don't worry about it. God's in control. He knows what he's doing. The grace of God is sufficient for me. Look what he says, verse 11. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever, so be it. So he comes to the conclusion. He says, and by the way, I got a couple other things to do. Paul does that. Peter does that. We all do that. Notice, those that teach the word of God. He goes in verse 12 to 14. He comes to the conclusion. Concluding words, he says, verse 12. He says, by the way, Salvanus or Silas. This is Silas, Paul's friend. One of the neatest guys in the body of Christ, like many of you that are here. He never asked for anything. He was always helping out. He was always loving and kind and always looking for the underdogs in the church and helping them. Never took advantage of any people in the church. He was Paul's companion and he became Peter's companion. Look what he says. By Salvanus, our faithful brother, I consider him, and I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is true grace of God in which you're standing. Again, the grace of God, notice that. Silas became so close to Peter that it's thought that Peter might have not been the one writing the letter, but Silas wrote the letter. You know why? Because Peter was a fisherman. In 1 Peter, 2 Peter, in the Greek language, it's one of the best letters ever written in the highest Greek quality you could ever read it in. According to the theologians, the best in the Greek. 1 and 2 Peter. And here, Silas was his companion. And he goes on to say this, watch this, verse 13. And by the way, she who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you, and so does Mark, my son. Who's Mark? Remember John Mark? The one that got in a fight with Paul, and Paul rebuked him and said, you're not coming with me. He was Barnabas' nephew. Here again, he's with Peter. And you know what blows my mind here? The word she is in two references. Number one, it is a reference to Peter's wife, or it's a reference in the Greek to the church, the bride of Christ. Because look what he says, she who is in Babylon. Who was in Babylon? Babylon was not Iraq. The word Babylon here is in reference to Rome. Peter was in Rome where the persecution was going on. And he's talking about the church that was being persecuted. He says, she who is in Rome, elect together with you, greets you, and so does Mark, my son. He calls him the son in the faith. And you know what? There are people in the body of Christ that become sons and daughters in the faith because they're true servants of the Lord, man. It's so blessed to do that. I love this church, man. So many beautiful people that God has blessed us with. And what a neat thing it is so that we can reach not only our communities, but reach the world for Jesus Christ.
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Roel Reese. We hope that you have been blessed by this 12-week series in 1 Peter. If you'd like to hear today's program again, we'll send you an unedited copy for a gift of any amount. Just call 800-634-9165 and ask for the latest lesson in Rawls' 1 Peter series. To further support you in your lifelong journey with the Lord, we'd like to offer you a helpful resource titled Obedience to God. Is it an option? It's an audio pack that will guide you in discovering how true intimacy with the Lord is achieved when you offer Him your absolute trust and your undivided heart. These Bible-based lessons will also guide you in enjoying the fullness of God's blessings as you make the daily choice to honor Him with your submission. So get in touch with us to order Rawls' 6-message series titled Obedience to God. Is it an option? We'll send you this resource for a gift of just $19 or more. To order, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. Our mailing address, if you'd like to order this resource by writing us, is Somebody Loves You Radio, Post Office Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. And be sure to mark your calendar now for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity this spring. Rawls and Sharon are hosting an 11-day Bible cruise retracing the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. They'd love to have you join them. Together, you'll experience the Bible in a fresh new way as you sail the Aegean Sea, summit Mars Hill, tour a Roman Colosseum, and much more. You don't want to miss this tour. The dates are April 1st through April the 11th. To learn more, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com and click on the 2019 Footsteps of Paul Cruise. Don't forget, Somebody Loves You Radio is funded solely through listeners like you, and your tax-deductible donations help keep us on the air. Coming up next time on Somebody Loves You Radio, we'll begin a new 2-week series exploring the unique roles and opportunities of men and women as we unite together to serve the Lord as His living, active church. Here's Roll now with a final thought from 1 Peter.
So you can see Peter right here closing the letter. And check this out, verse 14. Greet one another with a kiss of love. And the guy says, oh, wow, that's cool. That's what they said in the early church. But what happened here is that here is a kiss of greeting. They used to, in the early church, they used to kiss on the cheek. And what happened, as it happened in past times, people begin to take advantage of that holy kiss. So what happens here now is he brings in this whole thing about being together, greeting one another. It was kind of a greeting of love. I go to Argentina, different countries. They kiss you on the cheek, both cheeks. You go like this, you know, like that. You guys are going like, I know how guys are. But you know what's amazing? It's so cool because you don't even think about it. And here in the early church, they had a holy kiss. Notice what he said, of love, agape. And then what? Peace. Notice, to you all, Paul was a Texan. Notice, peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus, so be it. Can you believe how he concludes that letter? He concludes it with the grace of God, with a holy kiss, and with the peace of God. Isn't that cool? The peace of God and the love of God that we all need in our lives when we come to Jesus Christ. I am falling
in love with you. This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.